afternoon. Okay, take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 12. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You may be seated. Now, I know it says in the bulletin, what about being salted, or if we're going to move? I missed a day, so everything got shuffled. And before I gave the revised list to Cheryl, she had already printed a bulletin. So the insert's right. The bulletin is a service off, but that's okay. You can go ahead and study ahead. That's allowed. But Wednesday, we talked about how to be a peacemaker. And as we come to this portion in Scripture, the Beatitudes, the first four tell us about our attitude we need to have if we are a Christian and how to become a Christian. First, blessed are the poor in spirit. We need to understand we are spiritual beggars. We have nothing of spiritual value to offer to God, nothing that can make us worth God's attention. God gives us His attention because He loves us and He created us. I remember hearing in the past people say, you know, I have to be so valuable because God had to die for me. Jesus didn't have to die for us. Jesus chose to die for us because He loves us, not because we're worth anything. And if we are poor in spirit, realizing that we have nothing to offer to God, then we're going to mourn because there's nothing we can do to get right with God on our own effort. And we're going to cry, mourn over our sinfulness that has separated us from God and put heaven and God's presence out of reach. And if we do that, then we're going to realize we're not going to have anything to brag about. We're going to be humble. Not proud. There are a lot of people that are proud about what they've done. But as we look around the world and people that call themselves proud today and have proud parades, they're proud about their sinfulness. That's not going to make them in a better relationship with God. It just shows the warfare going on between sinful man, the forces of evil, and a holy God. And if we realize the only way that we can get right with God, the only way that we can have our sins forgiven is through what God has done, we're going to want to learn more about how to get right with Him, and we'll hunger and thirst for righteousness. The wind's blowing a little bit, and there's a branch that's blowing back and forth. I keep seeing a movement, thinking somebody's walking up to that door. You know, it's just... I'm going to have to trim that branch. You know, it's just one thing with the tree growing, it likes to extend its branches, but it also can be distracting for me, that peripheral vision. Now y'all are looking out there. Y'all can come up here and look at it a little bit later. Okay, but we need to realize we're spiritual beggars. Mourn for our sin. Realize that there's no room for pride. And then look to God's direction. Now, if we become a Christian and we have realized there's nothing that we can do on our own, there's no spiritual favor with us, no spiritual value, we're going to call out for God's mercy and share God's mercy with others. We'll be merciful to others because we have received mercy. And if we're mourning over our sin, then we're going to seek to be pure in heart so that we're not doing anything else to offend God. And if we're humble, realizing there's no room for pride, then we're going to be a peacemaker, trying to make peace between sinful man and a holy God. God is described as being a God of peace in Romans 15:33, 2 Corinthians 13:11, Philippians 4:9, and in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, when it talks about the birth of Jesus, he will be called the Prince of Peace. Peace, when you read your Bible, is found in the first two chapters, chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis. And it's found in the last two chapters, the new heaven and the new earth, in Revelation. In between, there's a spiritual war going on because sin entered the world. Satan came in and tempted Adam and Eve. Now, we need to remember when we read the context, Satan didn't come and tempt Eve, and then she later told Adam. Adam was right there with her when she was being tempted, and he didn't do his job of saying, "Leave my wife alone." He just let the serpent, Satan, tempt her. First, did God really say the same temptation methods he used today? Did God really say anything about that? Oh, no. God meant something else. You can ignore that. Doubt God's word, deny God's word. And then finally, you're smarter than God. Look at this fruit. It will make you wise. You will know good from evil. The same thing today. The same method Satan's been using all throughout history. Doubt God's word, deny God's word, and tell you you're smarter than God. And that's what we see happening in our world today. In our country today, in our state, in our county even, we see people that are doubting God's word, denying God's word, and thinking they're smarter than God. God is a God of peace. There are over 400 direct references to peace in the Bible. And the greeting in Israel, or the greeting between two Jewish people, is shalom. Peace be with you. Shalom. And I got a little trivet, one of those hot plate things, when I was over in Israel, and it was made just for Texas. It said, "Shalom, y'all." So, and I brought that back for Lana, and one of as one of my gifts from. I was thinking about you while I was halfway across the world. Well, shalom, y'all. We want peace to everyone. That's what God wants. But there is no peace in our world today. Since the birth of Jesus, there have been over 15,000 wars that we know about. And we have wars going on right now. Wars that have been going on for decades. Wars have been going on for a few years, and these are just physical wars, but there are also economic wars between the haves and the have-nots, because this, again, is a tool of Satan to try to divide people. Does God say, give all your money away? No. God said, take the money you have and help poor. He doesn't say sell everything you have and live as a pauper. No. God tells us to work hard to earn money so that we can help others. Matter of fact, it tells us in Ephesians 4, let the one who has been stealing no longer steal, but work so you may have something to share with those in need. But there is an effort to try to divide people among across economic lines. There's also religious wars going on. You don't believe the same as I do. We even have it in Baptist churches. Some people get mad at others because they're using the wrong version of the Bible. Well, what's the right version? The one you have right in front of you? God's word is contained in each of these translations. Now, there are a few to run far away from, but everything we have is a translation of the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic. If you want to get the original, learn Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Otherwise, you have a translation. And we have English translations. Some people use Roman translations or Italian translations. And at the time of the early church, they used the Latin version. Why? Because everybody spoke Latin. You know, nobody speaks Latin today unless you're in academia or in a very orthodox Catholic church. But Latin was a common language. Matter of fact, the Latin Bible is called the Latin Vulgate. Vulgate, from which we get the word vulgar, which means common. The common Latin. Sort of like we have the New English Version. That was the New Latin Version. Well, we need to understand that there are going to be divisions, but it's not from the work of God that often we see divisions. There are divisions. People say, it's just a book anyway. Why should I listen to it? Or, it is the Word of God. There should be a division there. And I remember hearing someone say that. Someone from Texas that was in the Southern Baptist Convention in Florida a couple of decades ago when there was a big controversy before there was a split in the Baptist Conventions in Texas. And the person stood up on the floor when they were discussing adding a statement about the inerrancy of the Word of God. Yeah, see? If you ignore God's Word, you ought to watch out. Okay. And the person stood up on the floor and said, I don't know what the argument about why we should have this. The Bible's just a book anyway. It's not just a book. It is the Word of God. God gave us His Word so we know what He wants us to do, who He is, and how we can get right with Him. But there's divisions. There are divisions in churches about the type of music you sing. We need to be singing praises to God through many different styles, with many different instruments. Even an instrument that's in a little computer box, we can sing praises to God through a box that we use to play our hymns with it today, or with the piano, or the organ, or a guitar, or drums. Read Psalm 150. Praise Him with all the instruments. There's also wars and divisions and lack of peace on social levels. Those that have one social standing and those that have another. We talk about the lower class, the middle class, and the upper class, and they're are people that are being used to try to separate us on that ground so we will not work together. In the church in Jerusalem, there was a man you know as Barnabas. He saw that there was a need, and some people had a need, and he went and sold some of the property he had and gave the money to the church to be used for those that had need. Then you had Ananias and Sapphira. Hey, look at everybody thanking Barnabas for what he did. Let's sell some property so we can get attention too. Whoa, we got more than we thought. Let's give just a part of it and keep back part of it. and we still get praised. The husband comes in. Peter says, why have you lied to God? You're not lying to people, you're lying to God. Plop, he dies. Not Peter, the husband. 3 hours later, the wife comes in. Peter says, is this the amount y'all got for this land? Yes! If you look at the back door, here come the people that just buried your husband. Tells you a little bit how long services were. 3 hours later, she comes in, and they're still going. Okay. Well, she dies. Not because they didn't give the money. Peter even said, you could have held back part of it. Just say, here's 80% of what we got. That would have been fine, but you chose to lie to God. Because they were seeking the attention of people, not the approval of God. There are wars, socially, economically, religiously, and within families. There are discussions. One group says one thing, and another group says another. Child against parent, parent against child, in-laws against outlaws, and there's personal warfare. Even Paul talked about this. The things I want to do, I don't do. But the things I want to do, those I don't do. There's a war going on. Who can rescue me? He said, thanks be to God. Jesus can. Jesus could solve all the warfare that's going on. Too often the world puts itself first. You've heard the term self-esteem. You're not going to find that in the Bible. I did hear this one person preach a sermon about the three greatest commandments. Jesus preached the three greatest commandments. Love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. Spent about 5 minutes on loving God and loving your neighbor, and about 20 minutes on loving yourself. Jesus says, there are two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Now, I know it was 2,000 years ago, but Jesus could add 1 + 1 and get to 2, not to 3. We already love ourselves more than we ought. Scripture tells us no one hates himself, but he feeds and clothes himself. Sin causes us to focus on, I'm not getting what I deserve. And you're right, we don't get what we deserve. We deserve hell. But when we say it, we're thinking, I deserve that promotion. I deserve to win the lottery every time. You know, how could I waste my money on the lottery and not win? Well, God tells us to depend on him, not on some little scratch off. We need to be depending on God, and God brings us peace. Now, peace is not the absence of conflict. There will be conflict. But peace is calm in the midst of conflict, knowing that the battle has already been won. And we, as I said, are in a spiritual war. Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. Battle over. The war's over. Satan lost. Satan is not the king of hell. He's just going to be another prisoner there. Prisoner 666. And 7 is the number of completion. 6 is the number of incompletion. Incomplete, incomplete. Incomplete. Lacking, lacking, lacking. As the finger on the wall in Babylon wrote, meeny, meeny, tickle the parson. You have been weighed in the balance and found lacking. Satan just wants to take as many people down with him as he can. He knows he's condemned, and so he's trying to bring war. War between the forces that have aligned with God and everyone else. And what's the source of peace? Ephesians 2 tells us Jesus is our source of peace. And in Galatians 5:22 is part of the fruit of the Spirit. In Colossians 1:19-20, it tells us through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we have peace. And Jesus said in John 16:33, peace you have in me, for I have overcome the world. Now, Jesus brings peace. And he's got somebody to tell people how they can have peace with God. And that's us. We are Christ's ambassadors, proclaiming a message of reconciliation, how a sinful man and a holy God can come back into relationship and there be peace instead of war. When we choose to follow the world, we're at war with God. But we are to be peacemakers. We are to tell people the truth. Now, had somebody made a comment, and I've been chewing on it this week, says, Jesus never chased the people that rejected his message of truth. He went among the people, told them the truth, but when they ran off, he didn't chase, but wait, I'll make it a little bit easier. No, he made it a little bit harder. Jesus had fed the multitudes on the side of the mountain. And then they came looking for him. He said, you came looking for me, not because you saw the miracles I did, but because I gave you free food. You need to understand, nobody gets into heaven unless they eat my body and drink my blood. What? Can't accept that. And Jesus is talking about accepting his sacrifice, not becoming cannibals. Accepting his sacrifice that he was about to do on the cross. And many people leave. How can we do that? Jesus turned to the disciples. Y'all going to leave too? And Peter, who has foot and mouth disease, because every time he opens his mouth, he almost always puts his foot in it, did say something good here. Where would we go? You have the words of truth. We need to speak the truth. Understanding it many times, it will be offensive. Don't chase those that won't listen to the truth. Be there, ready, present the truth. And there are other people that are needing to hear the truth. Sometimes Satan gets us distracted by chasing people that aren't going to listen. And we're ignoring the people that will. And don't assume somebody's not going to listen before you tell them the truth. Well, that guy's too far gone. I'm not going to tell him about how to have peace with God. Nobody's too far gone. Everybody needs to hear the truth. And a lot of people that you might think are too far gone, like tax collectors and sinners, as religious leaders said, they're too far gone. Why do you, Jesus, hang out with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes and all these kinds? Because they need to hear the truth. And who accepted the message before the religious leaders? The people that the religious leader said didn't deserve to hear the message. Don't assume anybody doesn't deserve to hear the message. Tell them. If they reject it, that's their choice. You've told them. As Ezekiel said, God has called us to be a watchman on the wall, warning of what's coming. Oh, no, now I've got Robbie the robot telling Will Robinson, warning Will Robinson. Well, we're supposed to go, warning world, judgment's coming. Danger world, judgment is coming. And what is the result of being a peacemaker? We will be called sons of God. Not always complimentary. You're a Christian. That was originally meant as an insult. You're just a little Christ. Well, thank you. Sometimes what the world thinks is an insult is actually a compliment. You're just a little Jesus. Well, thank you. I'm trying to be, but I'm not. But I'm trying to be more like him each day. And then, if we're trying to produce, promote, and say the word of God, we're going to be persecuted. If we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for the truth of God, then it's not going to be the world that's going to get us to turn away. And if we're not going to turn away from the truth, we're going to be persecuted. We're seeing this in the world. Sin used to be, well, you just got to accept that person's sin. Then it was, you got to promote that person's sin as being right. And now it's even gone, if you think they're doing something wrong, you can be prosecuted. If you dare think that sin's not okay, we're at a point in our world where you can be put in jail. It's called a hate crime. It's one word they use it. The thought police are out because we're thinking wrong. If we refuse to call somebody an apple when they're a he or a she, we're hurting them, and we can go to jail, lose our jobs because we're being offensive. Why? Because we're speaking the truth. A little 10-year-old boy, I think, no, 12-year-old, got expelled from school because he wore a t-shirt saying, there are two genders. The people that were wearing, there are 250 gender type of t-shirts, that was okay, but the boy got expelled, 12 years old, for taking a stand to speak the truth. There will be persecution. Now, with persecution, we need to understand what's the basis of persecution. Sometimes we're being persecuted because we're being jerks. That's not what it's talking about here. Notice it says, persecuted, verse 10, because of righteousness. You're doing the right thing. And then verse 11, you're persecuted because of me, Jesus is saying. What's the reason for your persecution? Is it because you're taking a stand for what Jesus says? Or because you're taking a stand and just being obnoxious? If you're getting persecution because of your own choice to do your own thing, that's not what it's talking about. You're not blessed there. But if you're doing God's thing and speaking the truth and you're persecuted, that's when you're blessed. That's when you're fortunate. And when does this happen? It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. In fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We are going to face persecution if we're trying to live godly. Did I get it right? Okay. Because I just wrote the reference down. Sometimes there's a train of thought, and all I see is a caboose. They don't even have caboose now. They just got a blinking red light on the back of it. I wonder what's on that train. Okay, well, we're persecuted if we're trying to live as a believer. That's promised. Why? Because this world is not our home. Our home is heaven. And we're blessed in heaven, not here. The story, and I haven't told it this year. Well, still just May. There are some missionaries to Africa that came home back on the same ship that Theodore Roosevelt came back from Africa on, from one of his hunting expeditions after he was no longer president. There were bands and everything waiting and cheering him as he got off. The old husband said to the old wife, we spent our life serving God. Look at this guy. He's gone hunt animals. And he gets all these people here to cheer him. And there's no one here to cheer us. The wife wisely said, it's because we're not home yet. Our reward is in heaven, not here on earth. God blesses us here on earth, but that's not where our reward is waiting. You don't take anything with you. You send it ahead. Why, Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. Nobody can steal anything from heaven. So put all your treasures there. The banks are collapsing. You heard that on the news. The government cannot protect everything because the government has forgotten its position. Our founding fathers understood the government is there to protect our God-given rights, not to take away God-given rights and replace them with government-given rights. Our rights come from the God of nature, the one true living God. We are called to live differently from the world. In Matthew 5:44, it says to pray for those who persecute you. In John 15:20, we find out we're in good company. Jesus says, they're going to persecute you because they persecuted me. Think about what happened with Jesus. All the government officials and the government and religion were united together in Israel, the religious leaders. They did have the Romans, but all the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, who carried out almost all the day-to-day government activities, were persecuting Jesus, were trying to have him killed. The people that had on their name, we're the spokesman of God, were trying to kill God. And they're the ones, when they asked for Jesus to be crucified, said, let his blood be on us and our children, because they weren't concerned about recognizing the Messiah as the Messiah. They just thought they knew better. The high priest said, it's better for one man to die than for everyone in the nation. We'll lose our place if we acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. So let's let him die. Jesus was persecuted. It hasn't got to the point where they're taking us out and nailing us to the cross, but they did that to Jesus. We're not having the cat of nine tails scourging our back. They did it to Jesus. We're not having people spit on us as we go to our execution. They did it to Jesus. Don't be surprised when you're persecuted if you're trying to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, rejoice. They persecuted the same way the prophets who were before you. You're in good company. And you all say, rejoice. You got people's attention. You got a cut on your finger. You don't know it. But then you get some lemon juice on it. And you notice that cut. Ah, that lemon juice cut my finger. No, it didn't. It just made you notice you had a cut. So you take action for that cut so it doesn't get infected. Sometimes we're irritating when we speak the truth because there's an injury between us and God that needs to be made aware. People don't want to hear they're sick. They want to hear they're fine. Well, we're not fine. We're all headed to hell without the blood of Jesus. Well, what's our reward? Our reward is in heaven. And turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:9. We're not alone. God has promised to never leave us. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:9. Well, let's go to verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. God will never leave us or forsake us. So you might ask, why are we afraid of persecution? If we're promised persecution, if we're trying to live a godly life, is it because we think we have better control of our life than God? God knows persecution is going to come, and he knows his reward is ahead. So we shouldn't go out seeking persecution, but we should not run from it either. Well, I'm not going to say anything because I might get persecuted. It's not a godly attitude. We need to say whatever God tells us to say in love. Speak the truth in love. What does that mean? Wanting to see that person get in right relationship with God. Telling them the truth because you don't want to see them go to hell. But not just saying something just to make them mad. No. If the truth offends, that's one thing. But if our manner offends people, that's something else. We need to remember to pray for those who persecute us, speak the truth in love, and remember our reward is not here on earth, it's in heaven. We will be persecuted. Now, that's not what you're hearing through most churches today. It's not your best life ever. Your best life is in the hereafter. We have something that we can't do in heaven, and that's tell a lost person how to get right with God. You cannot tell a lost person how to get to heaven in heaven. You can only tell them here. And as Todd Friel says, we get to tell people about Jesus. It's not we have to, but we get the opportunity. We can. God has called us to be his spokesman. It's going to come with persecution. And that's all the more reason we need to be united together. To be here, helping one another, building one another, sharing that we are loved and that our reward is in heaven. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that all is said and done by us will point to you. Let our lives reflect the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.